All right. To greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Privilege to be with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, your kindness you've shed abroad to us, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, what he's done for us. Been an example to us, Father. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you. Lord, we ask for wisdom this morning, God, as we open your word. Fill us with your spirit. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Begin in verse 23, I think. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was from what source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And Jesus answered, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." We'll read a little bit more, but I want to talk about this. They were questioning the authority of Jesus. Some places they ask, "Who are you?" And they ask several different things or questions of who he was. And they couldn't understand Jesus. In one place it said that he spoke with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. That made them uncomfortable. They had their ideas, they had their religious thoughts, but here came a man who spoke with authority. That really upset people. That upsets people today, to find someone that can speak with authority. Most people, it makes most people nervous whenever they come upon someone who speaks with authority. These people, to show who they were, whenever he asked the question, they said, they began to reason within themselves. One of them said, "Well, if we answer this way, then he'll say, 'Well, why didn't you believe John?' And if we answer another way, then they were afraid of the people, that the people." Their concern, the reason they didn't understand authority that Jesus is talking about, is because they were afraid of people. They were afraid of giving the wrong answer. And so they were living in fear, and that's why they weren't walking in authority. That's the reason they didn't walk in authority. They weren't hearing authority, because they were not living a life that is ready for authority. They were living in fear of man. And we find that so often today, how many people that they're afraid just the insecurities that we have that leaves us fearful to be honest with ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people, we were talking last night, there's a lot of people that can see problems in others, and they're fearless to show other people their problems. And it's a common thing in religion that it has a form of honesty about it, just to be able to bluntly tell someone their problems. But most of the time, someone just bluntly trying to tell someone else their problems are not looking at their own. They don't want to see their own. And I don't know how many times we've talked about and seen it happen that usually the person that's quickest to see the problems in others is, they see that and they notice that because that is the thing that they are most comfortable with or they're most familiar with in themselves. They see the things that they don't like in their own lives, and so they have to point it out in somebody else's because they're uncomfortable with it themselves in their own lives. They're afraid. They don't want to be exposed. And that's why so many people can't understand the authority that God is giving, because they're not willing to recognize that in themselves, but they're ready to see it in somebody else and see other people's problems. And they're quick to point other people's problems out. And like I said, the most common thing that they're able to point out is something they see in themselves in someone else. And that's why they're so quick and harsh to judge that in other people. That's where Jesus, how we judge is how we will be judged. Whenever we're condemning someone that is doing the same thing I'm doing, and we're hard on them for doing it and not facing it in ourselves, God will be hard on us for that very thing, because we refuse to accept that. That's one of the things that those practical areas that Jesus talked about whenever he talked about the judgment day. How many areas on the judgment day has Jesus explained to us and taught us that if this is the way you will be treated on judgment day? Sometimes we've got this checklist of I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, so I'll be all right on judgment day. I really love Jesus, so I'll be right on judgment day. We've got these ideas about how it's going to be when we stand before God after we die. But Jesus gave us several examples. One of them is you will be judged by how you judge. It doesn't matter how holy a life you live, or how spotless a life you live, or how sinless a life we think we live. If we're judging other people and not looking at ourselves and not seeing those things in ourselves and judging other people by that standard, that is the standard we will be judged by. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, mercy. Just to have mercy on someone else. You know, we can find areas in almost everybody's life that really bug us, that we don't like. Areas that really, I mean, that guy just, oh, he just grates me. Or that gal, or whatever, they just act. The phone rings and it's just, oh no, not them again. Just they grate us sometimes. There is where we have the opportunity to show mercy. To the opportunity to find this authority, this spirit that God is talking about. This authority is not just somebody giving you a charge. You know, whenever someone becomes a sheriff or a policeman, they have to swear an oath that they will uphold the law, and the county or the state or the government gives them the authority and a gun to go enforce that law. They have the power to do it. That's not the authority that Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about a moral authority. The Pharisees were talking about a moral authority. He didn't come saying, I've got a gun, you've got to listen to me. He just spoke, and everyone knew that what he was saying packed a punch. It was real. And we get that by taking the opportunities that God gives us. And that's what they are. God has packed our lives with opportunities to show mercy. We see them as problems. We see them as things that annoy us. We see them as things that are going to mess up my day. But God's given them to us for opportunities to display His character in us, to show us, to give us the choice whether we're going to choose to be like Him or choose just to get upset and be annoyed. Whenever God gives us the opportunity for mercy, we are writing down, we are putting in the book that we're going to be judged by, how we're going to be judged. When something goes wrong, when someone is going wrong, when someone is causing us problems, and we can be merciful to them. We can have mercy on them. I'm not talking about just grudgingly having to do something. We can just actually be merciful to people that we disagree with, that causes us problems. That's how we're going to be judged. The forgiveness. Jesus said, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. And He said, my Father will forgive you like you forgive others. How much we have the opportunity to write our own judgment day right at our hands. It's so easy for us to see problems in others. The older I get, the more I realize I can't fix anybody. And the less I am trying to fix anybody. You see, because that voice of authority that God is speaking is available to all of us. That voice of authority is available to all of us. And when a person is hearing that voice of authority, you can guide someone like that. But if they're not, you cannot do anything with them. You know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can drag him up to the fountain, but you can't make it drink. And that's what we try to do so often. And that's what causes so many problems in church. Is me dragging someone up to the fountain and then trying to force them to drink. The boys talked in their lesson about people who chose to do what was right. Each of us have to make our own choices. And each of us will live or die by our own choices, the choices that we make. We can be examples to others. We can be a help along the way. But until someone is ready to learn, there's not much we can do with it. We've got to have the wisdom and the grace and the mercy to let people grow through some of their problems instead of just trying to fix all of them at once. And that takes mercy. That takes grace. Don't know how many times I've told about myself. It's taken me 56 years to get to to where I am, to what I know today. And I have made a lot of mistakes along the way. I've made a lot of. But from the time I started following the Lord till now, the choices that I made, the decisions that I made, were based on the best information I had at the time. And when I make a decision, when I believe something, I'm going to stand by that until I find some other information. Something that shows me a better way. But we're all on the level that we are right now. And if we have that heart, that willingness to follow the Lord, and the firmness to follow Him on the level you're at, to hang on to that until He can show you how to take the next step, that's all that's required of us. On down here in this, the parable of the two sons, verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him." Here we got the two sons. One of them, right away, "Okay, I'll go do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Father, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Father." And then he didn't go. That was the second one. The first one said, "I don't want to do that." And then after, he regretted it and went and done it. Often, we're quick to say, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." But then when it comes time to do it, we just won't do it. And then sometimes the Lord shows us what He wants us to do. And we have to make a choice of whether we're going to do it or not. We may not like it. We may not understand it. It may be difficult. And we just say, "Lord, I don't want to do that. This man just said no. I'm not going to do it." But then after a while, he felt remorse. And he went and did it. We talked about repentance. You know, repentance, the idea of someone repenting is getting up and confessing all your sins. Just telling everybody all what you've done wrong. That's what people think repentance is. Or people just acknowledging, "Yes, Lord, I've done wrong. I'm sorry." And asking forgiveness. Repentance is when you feel remorse and you go back and fix it. It doesn't have a big flowery show that says, "Oh, yes, Lord, I will." It just says, "I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it." You know, we used to tell the boys that if you want to do something, you don't have to. If you want to do something, you don't have to do it. There's an attitude there of the will. that whenever we choose to want to do what's right, then we don't have to do it. Because our will has changed to where we will do it, we want to do it. This son, this second son, or the first son, said, "No, Lord. No, Father. I'm not going to do it." But then he went and did it. He had an attitude changed. And the Lord commended him for it. The first said, "I will." And then he didn't do it. This authority that Jesus is talking about is God's Spirit trying to speak to us, trying to get us to hear His voice. It's not in a rule book. It's not in a strict way of life. It's in a willing heart. A heart that's willing to do what God wants them to do. A true heart is not one that just does it because that's what they're trained to do. A true heart is one that has to make a choice of their will to do what they're supposed to do. There's two spirits in the world. There's a lot of different flavors of those two spirits. But there's only two spirits in the world. There's the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of the world, or Satan's will, Satan's ideas, man's ideas, or the spirit of the Lord. These people were very religious. And when the spirit of the Lord spoke through Christ, they didn't understand a word He said. They didn't recognize what He was saying. They saw that He had something and they didn't like it. They didn't want it. It's amazing how people seemingly so different can have the same spirit. Because there is truly only one other spirit. They can fight against each other and still be of the same spirit. They can hate each other for completely opposite causes, but they've still got the same spirit. Two people fighting in a war. Maybe one thinks his cause is great, the other thinks his is great. They still have the fighting spirit to kill the other person. They still have that mentality to go to war. That's the same spirit. Even though they're on two completely opposite sides, pointing at each other. Christ came with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of authority, the spirit of understanding that the world could not hear and could not understand. Jesus didn't just tell them about this spirit. He gave them the opportunity to show of which spirit they were. And He said, "Neither do I tell you about it." But the people that came and that were ready to hear, He was ready to give it to them. The people who weren't, He said, "Neither do I tell you about it." We need to be wise and understanding, merciful and patient, I think Jesus didn't explain a lot of these things out of mercy. It would just harden them, make them worse. He was able just to walk away from people that weren't where he was at and let him go. And I think that's what he's trying to show us this morning. That's what I'm trying to we need to learn to be wise enough to have patience with each other, be merciful to each other. We don't have to fix everybody else's problems. Like I've said before, I think a perfect church has a lot of problem people in it, because it's got any people in it, because it's got me in it. There's problems in it. A perfect church is people learning how to be merciful to other people, learning how to be patient with other people, learning to how to be faithful with people who aren't, be patient with people who aren't where I'm at. You know, if we were all just perfect, we probably couldn't stand each other. We've got such a desire to be the only perfect one because we want to be better. We can get full of pride being merciful too. It needs to be something genuine, something real, that actually have patience with other people, actually be merciful. See, we can have all of this stuff, we can have all of the right things and have the complete wrong attitude about it. We can say all the right answers and completely miss it. These Pharisees, these scribes, they had all the right answers. And if you was just talking, if you would listen to Jesus talk and you would listen to them talk, they were probably sounding like they were saying the same things much of the time. But they were of two different worlds, of two different spirits. Somehow what he was saying was genuine, was with authority, was real. See, they all had the same Bible, they were all quoting the same verses. They all had the same thing. But when he spoke, there was a sincerity about it, there was a realness about it, that just made all the phoniness want to run and hide. That just made all the fake want to run away. Because they were exposed. While they were quoting from the same book, saying the same words, following the same doctrines. But he spoke with authority. That's why he was crucified. All it takes is sincerity. It doesn't take boldness. It doesn't take an ability to see everybody's problems. All it takes is the authority of being genuine, being able to be who you are, following the Lord. Not just who you are, being your own person. Well, may the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything to share?
also appreciate the idea of the thought of you about what Jesus didn't say. You know, I've spent my Christian life studying what he said and often marveled that he didn't say more. Now I'm beginning to appreciate things he didn't say and why he didn't say them. One, like you said, for mercy, because they would just harden their hearts more and they had more information. And another, because mercy for us, because he knew that we just needed a guideline and we have to work this out. We had principles to lay, he had to lay down for us, but after that, we have to work this out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.